We're not going to do it all in one night. We're going to take it in little bites and pieces. Tonight we're looking at the gift of personality. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There are three basic passages of Scripture that expound the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Ephesians chapter 4 is a passage where the Apostle Paul is urging the church to remember that there are gifts given to the church, and those gifts are in the form of people. They are not just gifts that wander around and happen. They are in individual people. And so beginning our reading with verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Then verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Some translations have that hyphenated, pastor teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. Now I want you to note here that he just listed these. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers were there for a purpose. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. That is, the saints carry on the work of ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, as we look at your word tonight, we want to understand some of those things that are given to us from you. Lord, as we look at gifts of the Holy Spirit, we are looking at things that you give us, that you shower on us graciously. We don't pay for them. We don't earn them. You simply give them. And Father, as we focus on these truths tonight, we ask for your anointing, that you would prepare our hearts to receive that which you have for us. Give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was preparing this message, it dawned on me that I could probably keep you here for 2 or 3 hours. Okay, go for it. Yeah, right. My wife would be the first one out of here. Actually, she has sat through several church services where I preached for an hour and a half. But always by permission at the hour point or the halfway point. I've asked permission. I've asked what they wanted to do, come back the next night or whatever. And they've said, no, go on, let's continue. So an hour and a half is my record. I'm not going to do that to you tonight, okay? So rest, relax. But what I want to do is bring some practical applications into the idea that God has gifted us not only with gifts of the Holy Spirit, but before he gave those gifts, he gave us the gift of personality. And it's through the lens of personality that the gift shines. Every gift is given of God, but every gift is different because it goes through a different set of lenses and personalities by which that gift is conveyed. Now, let's say I have the gift of prophecy and can understand all mysteries. And let's say that Jim Hubler has the gift of prophecy. Is that gift going to be exactly the same in both of us? No, absolutely not. Because he has a different lens of personality than I have. We are not alike in personalities. And all God's people said, thank God, thank God. Everyone is given a mixture of personality traits to match the giftedness that God gives you. It's as if God, in his wonderful wisdom, said, I have so much to do. I want to create people of all different varieties and sorts. I want to make them with all kinds of mixes of personalities. Then I want to throw in the gift of the Holy Spirit into those personalities and see what blossoms forth. See, God's doing an adventure with us. He knows what's going to come out, but he wants us to be able to look and say, wow, look what the Lord has done in gifting that personality with those special gifts. God is the giver of all good gifts, whether they be physical or spiritual. God gives the gifts. He gives the gift of creation. We look around. Now, I like snow. You already know that. And this week, if you were to take every snowflake and examine it up close, you'd find out that every snowflake was different. Now, I don't know how they know that. I suppose they took a cross section and figured it out, that it must be that they're all different. But so are you. Take a moment to look around. Is there anybody here tonight that looks exactly like someone else in the room? No. Even if we had twins here, and to some of us they might look exactly alike, to their parents they don't always look exactly alike, and they don't act exactly alike. Even if they were indelibly imprinted with the same facial features, there are differences. And as time goes by, there will be more differences, because one will get cut above his eye, he'll have a little scar, another one will become saddened or despondent or discouraged, and he'll run around with a scowl on his face, and the other one will become a comedian. There are differences in personalities. There are differences in faces. God gave all of us a unique face. And I want you to do a task for me tonight. When you go home tonight, I want you to go in the bathroom and shut the door. If you have a large family, lock the door. And then I want you to look in the mirror. I mean, look up close. If you need your glasses, put your glasses on. And look in the mirror and examine your face. You do that anyway, right? And look at it from top to bottom, inside out. I want you to look at it and say, God gave me this face. It's the only one I have. It's the only one I'm going to get. Unless you're a rich multimillionaire and get a facelift. But it's the only one you're going to get. That is God's gift to you. Now, you may not like your face. It may not suit you, and your judgment of it is it's not as good as somebody else's face. I remember when I was growing up, I wished I had somebody else's face. I didn't like my face. And I looked in the mirror, and I thought, ooh, God, why couldn't you have made me like so-and-so? Instead of having a pug nose, I could have a Roman nose. Instead of having gap teeth, I could have these white, shining teeth of a hero. And I was a little frustrated until God brought me to the place where he said, this is a gift that I've given to you. This face could have been given to anyone, but I gave it to you to see what you will do with it. And what have I done with it? Somebody said, you screwed it up. Well, I do. I make faces and facial expressions, and I think it helps in preaching when somebody can express it. And I was in ministries with children for many years in our work in Brazil, and I've been told at times that, Pastor Dick, you have a rubber face. You can do just about anything with that face. And so I look at it now and I say, thank God, thank God, thank God, because God has given this face to me. It may not be the best, but it's the only one I got, so I'm going to use it to God's glory. God has given every one of us a personality. You didn't choose your personality. God didn't sit you down in the creation of the world and say, well, what kind of personality would you like? Would you like to be an extrovert or an introvert? He didn't ask any of us our opinion on it. He simply gave it as he saw fit and as he chose. Now, we can distort our personalities and they will evolve, they will change, they will assimilate other characteristics as we grow, but the basic personality you have, God gave it to you. So tonight we're going to be looking at personalities. Turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. David understood this idea that God creates people uniquely. He doesn't just stamp them out, doesn't mass produce people and faces and individuals. He makes everyone carved out by the mind of God. And in verse 14, he says this, Psalm 139:14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully, word is awesomely, and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows that right well. My substance, or my basic character, what I'm made of, was not hid from you when I was in this secret and curiously wrought in the uttermost parts of the earth. Your eye did see my substance being yet unperfect, and in thy book are all my members written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. David is saying, I can see in my mind's eye back when God created me in my mother's womb. God took his hands and he molded me the way he wanted me to be. He just didn't pump me out, and He just didn't send this world into motion and allow the genetic codes to do it all. God is involved in the creation of every human being. God has His hand on you. And that's one of the reasons why we don't believe in abortion. We believe it's murder. Because God's hand is on the baby in the womb from conception. God says He knows you before your substance. He's putting you together. He's knitting you together in a wonderful way. God wants us to understand that. When Paul comes to that, he talks about the church and special people God has placed within the church. He talks about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Now, that's not an exhaustive list. He was just using an illustration and pulling out a few of those people in the church that were blessings to this congregation. A few nights ago, we had our Thanksgiving service. And we had a time of thanking God for people, significant people in your life. And that was probably the most extended time of thanks that we had, because we began to realize God has gifted the church with special people. So there are several things I want to point out to you tonight, six things I'll point out, and then I want to walk you through discerning your personality and understanding who you are. First of all, I want us to understand that God gifts every human being with a unique personality. Everybody has one. Now, you've met people and they said, boy, he has no personality. That's not true, because everybody has it. He may not have a very vibrant personality or a very interesting personality, but he has a personality. Every one of us has a personality given to us by God. God shakes it all together, puts all the ingredients there, and there you have it. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That is, every one of us is born with a bent towards certain personality traits. I'm different than you are. As a matter of fact, I haven't met people that are identical to me or to anybody else. Everybody is unique and fashioned in God's design. Number two, God has created an infinite variety of personalities and gift mixes, just as He has created an infinite variety of snowflakes, clouds, fingerprints, voice prints, and retinas. What? Yeah, your eyeball is especially created by God, because now we have retinal scanners. You've watched the 007 movies and these other things on TV, where in not science fiction, but our actuality, when they want somebody restricted into access areas, they will allow their eye to be read by a retinal scanner. Nobody else can reproduce your eye. It's yours alone. Wonderful. In the Church of Jesus Christ, God says, no one can duplicate you. Nobody can take your place. You are a unique gift from God to the church. Isn't that comforting to know? Some of you say, well, I know some people that aren't a real gift. They're a pain. Even those people, God says, they are a gift from God to the church, and we need to understand that. Number three is, God has placed an infinite variety of men in churches, and that means men and women, and around the world as it pleases Him. Just as He sovereignly placed mountains and deserts and streams and valleys in this world, so God has placed people in the church. Do you think it's an accident that you're here in this church? Do you think you're only here because you chose to come in one day and take up residence and be a member or an attendee of this church? No. God, who created the world and put all of the elements, the gold and the silver and all the precious stones in the earth, put them there deliberately. He knows where they're at. And He puts people in churches in times and seasons according to His own plan. You're here because God wants you here. You're also here because this pastor prays for you to come here. I started that even before I came to this church. I've done it in every church. I pray that God would add to the church the gifts that are necessary, the gift mixes of people, because sometimes we're limited. There are some churches that don't have any pianists, and the pastor needs to pray, and the people need to pray, Lord, send us somebody with a gift to play the piano or guitar or something else. So God puts those people in the church as He chooses. Number four, each of us is one of a kind. No one else has your face, your build, your intelligence, your temperament. You are God's sovereign design. He made you and crafted you by His mighty hand. And His hand is all wise. And He threw away the mold. Nobody else is ever going to be created just like you. And that's why in Malachi, God says, and they are my jewels. They are my treasure. In that last day, I will glorify them. I will say, here is my precious treasure. You are a treasure to God. And I'm even a treasure to God. Number five that I want us to see is that no church gets to choose the personalities and gift mixes. We can pray for it. We can ask the Lord to send us people. And I pray for God to send us musicians and send us this and send us that. But I don't get to choose. He doesn't send me out in the street and says, Pastor, you go ahead and choose the people that you want to come to church. And then he says, Pastor Dick, you can go around the congregation. If you don't like somebody, you can just tell them to leave. We don't get to choose, do we? Do we? No, we don't. Now, there's some basics that go on. Sometimes people are attracted to certain personalities. They like the preacher or they like the music in the church, and they choose to stay. But we don't have any power over that. God leads people by His Spirit, and He adds to the church. We have no determination over who visits the congregation. And we really don't have a lot of input over who stays and who goes. We don't know whose jobs are going to change and who's going to be transferred to other places. God manipulates all of that. Paul is saying, the Lord has put into the church prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastor, teachers, and he could go on through all of the other gifts. And how many are there, if you remember? How many? Pastor Dick has 37, but he's the only one in the world that counts that many. Some people say that there are 29, some say 19, some say 14, some say 11. But there are lots of gifts, and even an inexhaustible list of gifts that God has for the church, and He puts them in the church. Finally, spiritual gifts are like personalities, and that's what I want to convey to you tonight. Spiritual gifts are like personalities. It's God's choice, God's determination, God's creation, not yours. Just as you have a unique personality, a unique face and build, you are made the way God wants you, so the gifts are given to you the way God wants. You can aspire for other things, you can long for it, you can even pray for it, but God is going to give you the gifts that He wants you to have. Okay, so I want us to understand, right at the outset of looking at spiritual gifts, you cannot determine the gifts that you're going to have. In a few weeks, we're going to be doing a gift inventory, and there are lots of those out there. I think the Pentecostals have theirs. I found the Methodists have theirs, and a number of other organizations have their gift inventories to discern what gift of the Holy Spirit you have. I'm not sure those always work. But God wants us to discover the gift He has given to us. I want to make another point here. Just like personalities can be good and they can be blessings, so spiritual gifts can be good and blessings, or they can be bad and curses. You see, God gives spiritual gifts and they can be used in a carnal or an ungodly way. So your personality is a gift of God and it can be distorted and misused. Satan can get a hold of your life. He can get a hold of your heart. He can cause detriment to your personality, just as he caused detriment to the gifts of the Spirit within the church. We need to be careful that we consider ourselves God's precious treasure and the gift of God a precious treasure. And we don't flaunt it. We don't misuse it. We don't misappropriate it for our own purposes. God wants us to understand personality. If you have your notes tonight, I want you to turn to another sheet. I'm going to show you something on the board here in just a second. Okay, I have basic four temperaments that have been defined. This particular one comes from Tim LaHaye and a number of other psychologists. But I'm using this as a sample to help us understand and discover our personality gifts that God has given to us. Each one of us is unique. Now, this is a personality circle. You have one in your hands, so it's easier to read. And what I want you to do tonight is I want you to be able to go through that with me and see your personalities. Now, what I've done is I've taken the middle section out. You see where it says A, B, C, and D? There used to be words there that defined each of those personality traits. But I find when I do premarital counseling, I put people through this test, but if the names are on those personality traits, they don't like those names. And so they skew the test. And they say, well, no, I'm not a melancholy. And they won't answer anything in the melancholy. Or they say, no, I'm not a sanguine. I won't answer anything in that. So I've taken that out of the picture. So you have A, B, C, and D. And I heard somebody mention tonight already there are some words on here that taint what you're going to say. For instance, on the your left side, it says extrovert. How many of you think you're an extrovert? Raise your hand. See, you've already tainted this thing. I've got it on there, and you're going to look at it and say, well, extrovert, that's me. Boom, 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 boom. I don't want you to do that. I want you to ignore those terms. Introvert, how many of you are introverts? Raise your hand. The rest of you fall between the cracks. You're nothing. You're going to discover tonight what you are. I don't want you to use that as criteria. That's for something else that is explained later. What I want you to do is start at the top of this circle and work your way to the left. So what you're going to do is this, and I don't have a pen to use up here. You're going to start up here. Let's say on the outside of the circle, outgoing, charisma, or it means charismatic, that you're the kind of person that kind of draws people to you. I want you to circle the word that describes you. Any word that describes you. Any word in the circle at all. The outside of the circle are positive personality traits. The inside of the circle are negative personality traits. Listen up. You have negative personality traits. Believe it or not, everybody does. And so when I'm counseling with couples that come in and they've got circles all over the outside of that circle and I look on the inside and there's one or two, I say, guys, this doesn't do. You're not looking at yourself with reality. There's going to be probably an equal balance of positives and negatives. There has to be. So I want you to go through that process of marking what describes you. You can do that right now while I talk, if you could do two things at the same time. Because God has given us the gifts of personality. And while you're doing that, let me describe several of those personality types or personality traits. The first one I describe is called sanguine. Why? Oh, because we like to use fancy Latin and Greek words. Sanguine means a perky people person. The bubbly kind of extrovert that just loves to be around people. Oh, happy all the time. The party animals are all sanguine people. And sanguine people have wonderful personality traits. When you go to a party, you hope there's somebody that's sanguine there. You hope that there's somebody that's the life of the party. They're in that category. Some of you, as you fill out this form, are going to find out you're sanguine, even if you don't always act like it. You're sanguine. That is, you're a perky person. You're a people person. The second one is called melancholy. And that's unfortunate that they call it melancholy because that sounds like a derogatory term. And it's not. Melancholy describes people that are introverted, pensive, and analytical. That doesn't mean you're all introverted. It means you like to be alone because that's where you can think best. But melancholy people are some of the best people in the world, if you can measure people by best, better, and so on. Melancholy people are artists and musicians, inventors and philosophers and doctors. Some doctors. Choleric is the next. The choleric personality is the high-strung person, the hyperactive, busy person. Do you know anybody like that? Martha in the Bible was probably choleric. She was a zip-zitty-doo-dah, get-it-done, leader, producer, builder, get-it-done kind of person. And so that describes that. Can you see now why I don't have those names up there? You look at it and you say, oh, that's me. Phlegmatic is another one, and that means the easygoing, cool, calm, collected personality. The kind of person that nothing ruffles their feathers very often. They're just very easygoing. Diplomats, accountants, and teachers, and technicians usually fall into those categories. But you can't really say people's professions are determined by their personalities. Because even in professions, you have all kinds of personalities. Okay, now, If you've gone around the outside of that circle and circled all the words that describe you, I want you to go on the inside of the circle and circle all those words, they're negative ones, that describe some negative trait in your personality. And while you're doing that, let me expound on a couple things. Number one, each of us has strengths and weaknesses. It's a fact of life. You can't get away from it. You may ignore your weaknesses, but they're there. You may ignore your strengths, but they're still there. Number two, no one is perfectly one personality or another. There's going to be crossovers. You're going to have circles in each quarter of this pie. Number three, each one is necessary to the whole. Every personality type and crossovers between the types are necessary for God's purposes. So we shouldn't despise being one or the other. Number four, and this is what I teach couples, opposites attract. You see how this is cut up like a pie? The B's will be attracted to the C's, and the A's will be attracted to the D's, usually. And sometimes the sanguines, or the A's, are attracted to the B's and the C's to the D's. But you're usually not attracted to somebody that's in the same piece of pie that you're in. Two sanguine people living together for 50 years is not a good thing. You know why? Because the sanguine is the party animal. You get two people in the same boat and they're having parties all the time, they'll drive you nuts. Imagine what their kids would be like. And so we usually choose a spouse from some other segment of personality because that's what we're weak in and they complement us. The happiest married people are opposites. Number five, you aren't the best judge of your looks or your personality. Hey, listen to this. You are not the best judge of your looks or your personality. That's why I think it's very dangerous for us to do spiritual gifts inventories. You're not the best judge of your gifts. Other people are. You're not the best judge of your looks. Other people are. You win a beauty contest not because you said, I'm the most beautiful in the class. It's because other people chose you to be the most beautiful in the class. And that's the way it is with personalities as well. We don't always see our flaws and our weaknesses, but other people do. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this home, and I want you, there's some extra ones, take an extra one home and give it to your spouse if she's not here or he's not here tonight, or give it to a close friend or a father and mother. It has to be somebody that knows you well. Have them fill it out in the same way. And say, I want you to describe me. Every word that describes me, circle that word. Inside the circle and outside the circle. And then I want you to take theirs and compare it to yours. And if theirs is extremely different than yours, you know what I want you to do? Rip up yours. Because you are not a very good judge of your personality. We don't judge ourselves very well. Some of us are super critical of ourselves, and others are super confident, and therefore they think they don't have any flaws. So somebody else judging you is a lot better, and your wife or your husband is a pretty good judge of your character. Now let me give you a warning. You'll probably have to come in for marriage counseling. Because you won't agree with your spouse's determination of you, and vice versa. That's because somebody on the outside seeing you determines your value. Now remember, your spouse married you in spite of the fact, so don't get all bent out of shape that she or he marked the wrong things on there. They're just calling it like they see it, and you call it like you see it for them. That helps us. We need to understand our personality types so that when it comes to spiritual gifts, we can understand that we're not going to be just like somebody else. We're going to be unique because of the unique giftedness that God gave to us, which is seen through the lens of our personality. Nobody is just like you in personality or in gifts. The Apostle Paul sums this up and he says, God gave to the church people, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and on the list goes. He gave the church people, not just gifts. And these people are gifts for the church to build it up and to encourage it and to help us walk with Christ. You, my friend, are a gift to this church. And God says you're a precious gift. Don't hide your candle under a bushel. Don't stand in the corner with your personality and say, I don't have anything to contribute. You do. God has given you a wonderful personality, even if it's skewed a little bit. He has given you gifts from the Holy Spirit that you can use for Him and glorify Him. Now, we're just about out of time. And what I thought of doing tonight, but we won't do, is let me do this. How about a show of hands? How many circled? You need to do this first. Go through and look at your pie. Which quarter of the pie do you have most circles, inside and out? Count up all the circles. Which corner of the pie is predominant? That's what I need to know. You've got circles in each quarter. Which one has the most circles? That's your predominant personality trait. It's not your only one. It's predominant. Okay, now, how many of you are dominant in the A category? Raise your hand. Raise it real high. I want to see it. Okay, let me see now. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. You know what A is? A is the sanguine, the party animal, the person that loves to play around, the person that just loves people, bubbly all the time, very positive usually. Okay, now if you're an A, that's okay. Don't have to be mad at yourself for being an A. Even if you got a lot of circles on the inside of that track, which are the negative parts of that, it's okay. That's who you are. Now, God wants to work on all of our negatives. He wants to push us over to accentuate the positive side of those negatives. The negatives are always going to be there, but we need to accentuate the positive. Okay? How many of you highlighted B? B was your personality. Boy, some of you, I could have guessed it. Some of you, and others I don't know well enough. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. I want to find out who else is like me because I'm in the melancholy. That's melancholy personality. Means you're the pensive person, rather introverted. You're the thinker and you're analytical. You're also a perfectionist. Okay? It fits, doesn't it? Isn't that neat? You see it and you say, okay, that does describe me. Now, when you go home and your wife or your husband really followed up on you, you'll have to determine between the two of you which quarter of the pie you really are. What about the C section? The C section of the pie. How many got C? Marilyn's all alone in the whole room. I knew that she had C. We don't have anybody else like you in the whole wide world. All right, you know what that tells me? That's amazing. Because usually there's a pretty good balance in any group. That's amazing. That means we need to start praying, Lord, we need more gifts in this area. We need more personalities that are gifts to the church in this area so that those gifts, those spiritual gifts that are given, can flare in that area. The C personality, let me make sure I got the right one here. The C personality is the choleric, I believe it is. Choleric, yes. And that's the personality that we referred to earlier that is the high-strung, hyperactive, leader, producer, builder. I don't know if that really fits you, but we'll talk about that at home. That's D. Okay. Okay. How many got the quarter of the pie that's initial D? You're a D. Okay. D then is your phlegmatic person, calm and quiet, unmotivated, that kind of person. We have quite a few of those. Now, isn't it interesting? We don't have all of one or another. We do have kind of an empty spot there in C. We'll look for those people. And maybe as you begin to evaluate this with your husband or wife, you'll discover that some of you are in the C category. You just don't want to be in the C category. Now, all of this is to tell us what Paul said. He said, God has given to the church people, special people that are gifted by God to bless the church. You are a blessing. And if you've never felt like a blessing in the church, it's time for you to blossom in your personality. Allow your personality to be seen and heard and appreciated in God's church. God never intended for just a few people to run the church or a few people to control or dominate the church. He wants the whole church to be active, ministering their personality and the gifts that God has given to them. All right, I challenge you, take this home, work on it at home, play with it at home, laugh at each other, don't accuse each other, laugh at each other, and enjoy learning more about your personality. And then when it's all said and done, thank the Lord for how He has created you. You are special, and you are unique in the eyes of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making us. And Lord, you have created us, as David said, fearfully and wonderfully awesome. And I don't understand all the reasons why you determine who's going to be what. And there have been times in my life, Lord, I didn't like what you gave me. But Lord, I want to be happy with what you've given me. And I want to take the seeds of personality and use them for God's glory. I want you to take the negatives and turn them into positives. I want you to take the down things that I don't really like and make them into likable things, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit might shine through those areas of my personality. I pray that for the church, Lord, that you would help us to excel in those areas where you have gifted us. Teach us, Lord, to be what you want us to be, not what somebody else wants us to be. And I pray that as we do so, you would make us a blessing in the church. We ask that you would bless our church and congregation with an abundance of gifts and ministries and people that continue to bless and enrich our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close? And without anybody going to the piano or organ, I want you to sing an old-time song. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.